welcome to episode 29 of the Divided by Werewolf show, coming to you over the intrawebs and the platform of your choosing. I feel like we are missing some untapped potential. I see people starting Patreons for podcasts and such, and I just feel like there is an untapped revenue stream there.
Yeah. A lot of the I was going to actually sort of maybe mention this, but the YouTube, man, it's like a abandoned ship over there, dude. They're like, everybody that I watch, because, you know, the things that I'm into, that you're into, they're not exactly the most family-friendly things. And YouTube is apparently taking the stance that they want to be Disney all of a sudden.
Really?
So they're demonetizing videos left and right for no reason. I mean, like, anything that has anything to do with horror or
video games.
Yeah, dude, it's like it's a dumpster fire over there. Like, people are jumping ship left and right, starting Patreons, trying to find somewhere else to go. Like, YouTube has lost their fucking mind. It's like,
I wonder how much of that has to do with, like, between that those family that, like, pranked their kids, and then, you know, some of these, like, you know, like PewDiePie, they're making fucking anti-Semitic jokes, and YouTube's just like, we're not even going to deal with it. Like, if we're concerned in the slightest, we ain't just even going to bother.
That seems to be the general consensus. The apocalypse happened, like, earlier in the year, and that was the first round. This is, like, round two, only it's come out of nowhere.
But apocalypse, YouTube's state was basically like, no, it's cool. Like, we're not doing anything different. It just looks different, but it's not actually different, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they did demonetize some things and you know, a little bit. But this is, like, going from, we acknowledged it, but we're still letting you do your thing, to now you ain't making any money.
See, and I can understand that to a certain degree, but at the same time, like, YouTube has plenty of tools that folks can use for their, like, if they're afraid that their kid is going to get online and watch a horror thing, you know, you can set that shit up so your kids can't watch objectionable content. And then any YouTuber who's looking to make a money off of this stuff, particularly if they're doing horror channels, they're going to make sure that stuff's flagged appropriately. But also at the same time, like, there's nothing wrong. Like, there's a difference between, you know, some dumbass making racist jokes and somebody talking about horror movies. Like, horror movies are an accepted form of entertainment. They have been since the first movies were started.
Right, at least the 30s.
Yeah, I mean, Nosferatu is how old? I mean, that's silent movie.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous. And the thing is, see, here's my problem with stuff like that, is that you dance with them that brung you. Like, you are not, YouTube is not going to become... YouTube is not going to become Disney.
Right.
They just aren't. They're not going to become, a content provider like Netflix or whatever. Or I don't think anybody is going to use YouTube as their premier way of consuming original video content. And even if they wanted to, Netflix has shit all across the board.
Yep.
You know, they allow for things like that. So I think.
Well, the other thing is, if you were going to do that, if that was your business model from the jump, you can't wait this many years and all of a sudden be like, oh, shit, Starbucks didn't like that PewDiePie video. Fucking shut it down. Right.
You can't
just change.
You built. And I mean, I don't know, is it being, you know, now that they're owned by Google, if that's the difference. But you built a business off of letting any fucking moron with a camera, and I count us in that, to upload a video. And that's what you were built off of. And some incredibly amazing things have happened as a result of that.
Absolutely.
So to then throw, you know, kind of all of that out, because you don't know, like, I don't think what they understand is that, okay, you look at it and go, okay, well, the people making videos now, you know, it's minimal impact to them, whatever. Or, you know, we know what they're already doing. But you don't know who the next person who's going to make it big, that they might be looking at your platform and going, you know what, I'm not even going to bother. I'll find somewhere else.
Yep.
But, I mean, at the same time, I think it's ridiculous. Like, you and I, we could say, I bet we could say whatever the fuck we wanted to. I bet we could just be the most vile and disgusting, people on the stream just say whatever, and I guarantee it wouldn't fucking bat an eye because we don't have an audience that would raise enough of a ruckus. And that right there is just disingenuous because you're not making efforts to prevent stuff like that. What you're doing is looking at obvious targets and then painting everybody that seems obvious to you with the same brush. And that's
you're
ridiculous.
Absolutely right. Because here's the stipulation. If and I've been seeing this all week because I watch a lot of fucking YouTube. Like that is, I tweeted like YouTube is trying to eliminate 70% of my entertainment because I watch so much YouTube. That's why I'm so behind on my shows.
Yeah,
is because I just watch YouTube.
Right.
And the if you want to do a grievance or whatever it's called, like where they look at it or, you know, you're like, hey, I'm filing a whatever here. This isn't right. There's nothing wrong with this video. The only way that YouTube will look at it is if that video has over 1,000 views in a 7-day period.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So you can't even dispute it. There's no disputing whatsoever unless that video has had that many views in 7 days.
Their disputing process has always been a problem. I remember Jim Sterling, he would constantly get strikes when he shouldn't have. And so he uploaded a video. He would get strikes from Konami and strikes from Nintendo. And he uploaded a video that essentially pitted both of those companies against one another. And he was like, I'm going to let them work it out. Because it was like – it was basically like Konami would say, well, you can make money on this, but it's got to go to Konami. And then Nintendo would say, you can't make any money on this. And so he uploaded a video that would trigger both of those things. And he was like, let them work it out. Like, let me just see if – and sure enough, like both of those strikes hit. And he just was like – just to show like how ridiculous the whole process was that you know, you could have – something set up like that where two people that have nothing to do with the video are essentially competing over who doesn't get money.
Yeah. That's
see, and I use YouTube. I watch the Brain Scoop. I watch her videos and I watch trailers.
Yep.
And that's it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't.
Well, that
don't
was
watch.
Me before I got this IT job. Like that was me. You know, I went to work at the hospital all day, and I was in surgery all day, and I didn't get to play on my phone, and there was nothing, you know, I was always busy. And then I would go home and, you know, do the things with the kids and whatnot, and then I had make dinner, and then I'd watch whatever was on television, or, you know, depending on the time of the year, either it was hockey on, football's on, something's on. And, you know, I was caught up on all my shows. And YouTube, when I got the IT job, that's – you know, I discovered Rooster Teeth, Achievement Hunter, and it's just blossomed from that. And that's like I come home and I turn on the Xbox and I go to YouTube, and that's like watching TV for me now. Okay. It's watching, you know, Comic Trips, The Horror Addicts, you know, Bloodbath and Beyond. That's what I watch.
Right.
And so, like, this is like, it's not, you know, it's fucking with so much in my life. If everybody's going to stop doing videos and then I have to take consideration, well, if they're going somewhere else, there's not an app for that on the Xbox, so fuck. I can't watch television, so to speak. So,
right. Yeah.
It's just a fucked up situation.
Right. In fact, I used to watch this one guy's videos because, and this is the thing, YouTube, they're so bad about telling you that channels you subscribe to have new videos.
Yes.
So there's this one, and it's a great show, and I feel bad, but I just forget about it. It's called It's Okay to Be Smart. It's a fantastic series. And he had a Tumblr, and he would update the Tumblr with the videos, and I'd see him from there. And then he stopped updating the Tumblr. I never get emails saying that he has new videos. So if I don't go every day, and I forget. Yeah. I just got too much other shit to do. Like it's not a habit of mine to go to YouTube every day and see what's there. I definitely consume YouTube on the push model. If something gets pushed to me, and I'll go, oh, okay, cool, I'll watch it. But actually, like, going to YouTube and checking each individual channel to go, like, oh, what's new? I don't do it. And it's because I'm old, and it's just I mean, that's what it is. Should I buy CDs?
Yeah.
You know? That right there, doom, drop the mic. It's amazing I even dropped the gramophone. Drop the wax cylinder. But so let me ask you this then. So when you, so these horror, like the horror channels that you mentioned, do they what type of stuff are they doing? Because I'm just curious to know, like, what they're doing that YouTube would be demonetizing.
All right, so I'll give you two primary examples, and these are probably, I don't know, I wouldn't say my favorite two. One of them is definitely one of my favorites. The other one's sort of on the fringe. But so Bloodbath & Beyond, all they do is reviews and trailer reactions and mostly things like that. And they do retro reviews and they do things like
that. Cool.
But they don't show there's not, like, nudity. There's not the blood and gore. I mean, yeah, occasionally, you know, they show a clip. You know, they'll do a top 10 kills or something like that. And I could see that getting flagged maybe. But
again, it's from a movie.
Right. And just two guys sitting on a couch or behind a desk in front of a green screen talking about a movie. I don't know why you tag that or flag that. I'm sorry.
Especially, too, like you're trying to tell me, like, the trailer for, like, Atomic Blonde, people weren't getting killed in that trailer?
Exactly. Exactly.
Or Red Band trailers? Shit.
Yeah.
A Red Band trailer.
All over YouTube.
Right.
And the other channel, and the one that made the video today that I saw that was specifically, were like, and I was like, Jesus, these guys are getting flagged as horror addicts. And it's a girl and her husband, Gory B Movie and her husband, and they even have their kid in their videos. And it's like unboxings just a lot of times Gory just gets on and does these discussions with other horror YouTube people, and they just talk. There's nothing but their faces looking into webcams, and they're all chatting. That's it.
So it's
and these
the
things
content?
Are getting demonetized. Yeah, it's the fact that it's horror. It's
that's
like
bullshit.
There's yeah, but that's exactly what it is.
That's bullshit. So
I agree.
On a horror note, you would have been very proud of me yesterday.
Okay.
Because my son said to me, it was after dinner, he said, Dad, I have a question. I said, yeah. And he goes, who is Freddy Krueger? And without missing a beat, I go, bastard son of a thousand maniacs.
That's a perfect, perfect answer.
And he's looking at me and my wife's looking at me like, what? And the best part about it is I didn't even think. Like, it just right. was like I had been right. saving that up since what? I don't even remember the Nightmare on Elm Street where you found out that his nun mother got raped by lunatics.
I can't remember either.
Was that Dream Warriors?
Well, that's when it actually happened, but I think it was mentioned before.
But that phrase.
No. It happened in Dream Child, sorry.
Dream Child, yeah, okay.
I think Dream Warriors may have been where it was uttered by somebody. I can't remember.
Okay. But without you, like, that's been in my subconscious for, what, 20 years, 30?
Right.
And what the worst part about it is, I then explained to him about Nightmare on Elm Street, and I never explained the bastard son of a thousand maniacs. It occurred to me later, I was like, oh, wait a minute.
That's none just a twist. That's his Twitter handle.
Yeah. I was like, none of what I told him even remotely explains my initial explanation of who he was. I didn't want to get into the whole, okay, that's not actually how insemination works, but, you know, let's just go with it.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, yeah. So I explained to him. And then he goes, I said, how'd you see that? He goes, oh, this kid at school had his had him on a shirt. He's like, and there was some other guy in the shirt. He had like a hockey mask on. Who's that? I go, oh my god, I have as a father.
My boy.
I'm like, what? How do you not know? But I was like, well, I know how you don't know because I haven't taught you. That's how. That's me. That's all on me. So you'd be proud of me, but disappointed in me at the same time.
So, I've gone through life that way for most people.
All right, so we got some stuff to get into. First and foremost, let's talk games. So you recently finished Horizon.
I did.
Dawn. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And
that is a strong contender for Game of the Year.
Yeah, man, that's going to be a rough show at the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny, like, that's been coming up here lately. Like, a lot of the, again, YouTube, but several channels, like Kinda Funny, Greg Miller's new thing and all that, like, they're saying, is 2017 the best year for video games ever? And I'm like, you know, I wouldn't have said that until I listened to their show, and I'm like, fuck, they're kind of right. Like, it's been
a great,
yeah,
like, yeah, it's been a great year. I have to say, 85% trophies. Come on.
Come yeah, on. I know. You know, and I'm not saying I won't go back and pick up
some
all
of the collectibles
cups
that you're missing. They're not hard. The hunting
yeah,
grounds.
No,
let me tell you about the hunting grounds. I thought they were going to be a lot harder than they actually yeah. are. They
well, I'm
are
only, I'm only,
much
I'm only
easier.
Two Blazing okay. Suns. Like, I only missed two Blazing Suns. Like, everything else, I got Blazing Sun usually on the first go through. I mean, I was watching the guy that does PS4 trophies or whatever mm-hmm. on YouTube, but I was like, oh, okay.
Was that
so I follow him.
Power Picks?
Literally, I think it's PS4trophies.org or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's channel. Okay, so that's the sister site to Achievements, 360 Achievements, which isn't called
360. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. See, this is what I find interesting about people who play open world games, because there's people like me who just can't resist. Like, if I'm in the section of the map and I see there's collectibles, like, I just can't. I have to go get them.
Yeah.
Because I don't consider that section complete. And Horizon is different in that map is not really broken into sections per se, as opposed to
right.
something like Wildlands, where it is clear that you are in this particular province and you're gonna and it'll show you how much stuff you got.
Right.
But even just if I see that it's on a map, I have to go get it.
Yeah, see, and the thing for me is that I like the idea of open world and oh, you can do everything. But I typically don't really enjoy them that much because it feels like a slog. It feels like work to me.
Yeah.
And it has to be something like, you know, Red Dead Redemption or Horizon. You know, I can't just play, like, for instance, like watching, I enjoyed watching you play Mafia. I'll never play Mafia 3. That game,
Mafia,
I just.
That game, though, for real,
ugh.
Like, the story is fantastic. The collectible and all that, it's bullshit. I mean, I feel you on that one. That game is a perfect example of my inability to not collect everything winning over better judgment.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you're at the exact top of the map. Oh, do you need to drive all the way down to the bottom of the map to get some truck? I mean, you know, the reality is, in terms of, like, you know, it gave you some benefits to be able to unlock skills, but the reason to play Mafia is the setting and the story. The
right.
All the grindy, collecty bullshit is a reason to not play. Same thing with Mad Max.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality
is, I didn't play that one either.
Mad Max is a fantastic setting. Like, absolutely spot on setting. The collectible stuff is just time padding bullshit.
Yeah, even something like Grand Theft Auto, like I love those games. Don't get me wrong, like, I love them. The first Grand Theft Auto game I actually finished was 4, and I finished 4 about a week before 5 came out, just because I was goddamn determined to do it.
Yeah.
Now 5, I got into 5, like, I feel like that game is as close to perfection as open world games get, and you know, I ran through that one. You know, I was constantly, every day I was playing it, every day. But that's what I do a lot of them, is I'll play it for a while, I get bored with it, something else comes out, I'm like, oh, good, something new, shiny, I go to that, and then I'm like, I'll get back to that.
See, and I do that too, but I never get back to it, which is why I typically try to be very, very careful with starting something new. Like, and that, I think that's, to a certain degree, a detriment to the stream, because I'll gnaw on something like a dog with a bone until it's done.
Oh,
because
Jesus,
I know
same here.
That if I stop to pick up something else, most likely I'm not going to go back to it. Now, there's certain things like Destiny. You all, you know, you'll go back to that just to
move around.
Or like, I have the Assassin's Creed collection, and that's just kind of a game. I've already played them all, so if I go back and just dick around a little bit, no big deal. But like, if I in the middle of even like Pyre, which I loved, if I stopped playing it, I don't know if I'd go, would have gone back to it. which is when I was like, okay, we need to. I mean, and that's even with games that, like, I mean, obviously, if you don't like a game, it's not holding your attention. That makes sense. But even if it's a game that I really like, but Horizon, the only collectible I'd say is worth getting if you haven't gotten it is the one where you go and like scan the memories.
Oh yeah,
because I think the story that those memories tell is actually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so November I guess is when the expansion comes out for that. So
yep. So, and I'll be getting that. Like I enjoyed it enough that I'll absolutely play everything they put out for that game.
Yeah, yeah. And then Just Cause, I saw you threw up another video the other day.
Yep, yep. We're three deep now. I'm not good at it.
Yeah,
at all.
I wasn't either.
At all. Jesus Christ! Like I am awful at this game, but it's just stupid fun. And like I laugh at myself when I fuck up. And so it's worth playing for that. And I did play it this afternoon. I didn't stream it, and I just was. I'm trying to like figure out how you know what to do next, and because you know the first island or territory, whatever you want to call it. It's like there's constant phone calls. All right, we'll do this. Yeah, hey, now you do this. And then you liberate that section, and they're like, all right, player.
And yeah, the way it works is that you have to cause a certain amount of chaos before the next mission unlocks. So basically, go wreck shit.
Okay, I can do that.
Like when you see gas stations, bases, shit you can blow up, just fucking blow it up. I think, too, like, if there's races and stuff, I think that counts as well. But, yeah, basically, you cause chaos, and that will get, like, the unrest built up enough to where they'll call you with the next mission. Yeah.
Okay, because I didn't know for sure, but that's what I did today, actually. I played this afternoon. I played for about an hour, and all I did was – because I'm trying to get used to the controls because it's not – it's funny to me, but I can't imagine anybody who's ever played Just Cause watching – these strings and be like, just press the fucking button. That can't be entertaining, right? So I'm trying to get it better. So like maybe the streams are somewhat bearable for people who've already played it. Not that I'm getting tons of views or anything like that, but like autistic watched me play the other night. And I was just the whole time I was like, dude, I'm sorry. I'm just like,
My bad.
I'm trying. I promise. Yeah. I'm not doing this bad on purpose.
right. Yeah, no, I feel you. Because I remember, so there's a Texaco station about 5 minutes away from my house, and there's like an alternate. So like when we want to avoid the highway, there's like an alternate way we go, and we're going to like Costco or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing, because Just Cause 2, I played that really, really late. I think it was free on PlayStation Plus maybe. I think that's when
I
played it.
Yep, it was.
And the logo for the enemy government in Just Cause 2 is very similar to the Texaco station. And I'd been playing this game hard, like all the time. And I roll up to this Texaco, and my first thought was, I need to blow that shit up. And then I was like, ooh, secure that shit, Hudson. Yeah. Like, we can't have that. Like, I fucking gun the minivan and then roll out the driver's side. My wife's like, what are you doing? Oh, are you still in it? My bad. Don't worry, baby. Cause enough chaos, I'm going to get another mission.
We're going to liberate this piece.
Yeah. And what I find is that when you tell your wife, I have an overwhelming urge to blow up that gas station, they don't typically wait to ask questions.
Right.
They have 9-1 dialed. It's really up to you at that point to kind of talk them down. No. It's a game. Yeah. No, Just Cause 3, I mean, you know, my I played it pretty hot on the heels of Just Cause 2. Long enough, well, it was enough time had passed to where Just Cause 2 was still somewhat fresh in my mind, which is why I felt, it's not that I was disappointed in it, I just, the memory of Just Cause 2 was there to where I felt like that game was better, but it was still, Just Cause 3 was still, I still enjoyed my time with it. You know, there's very few games out there that allow you to just go crazy and just just blow shit up. Like that's the goal, is just blow shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, for me, so I started Agents of Mayhem. I don't really understand what's going on, to be perfectly honest. I played it last night, and I ended with a mission where I guess I just had to, like, kill a bunch of people. You know, the ability to switch between agents, it takes a little getting used to because it's kind of like switching weapon sets, only instead of, like, having a different gun, you actually have a different set of powers. And I haven't quite figured out the rhythm of, okay, now is the time when I would use this person, now is the time when I would use this person. But I think that my, you know, I was looking at it more like, almost like a Skylanders where, oh, they're dead, bring in a new character. Oh, they're dead, bring in a new character. And I don't think that's how it's meant to be used. I think they expect you to use an agent like a loadout.
Yeah.
And you just switch between loadouts for the situation. And I kind of got into that mindset towards the end of the stream, but by then it was just enemies everywhere and shit was blowing up, and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, so I'm just gonna kill everything. You know, the humor, I remember reading, like, I was really surprised because, like, some of the reviews are really down on it, and then Tom gave it like 5 stars, and I've read Tom's reviews for quite a while, so I have a pretty good feeling for what Tom likes and doesn't like, and we've talked about games a lot. And I was really surprised. So then, you know, there was a really good thread on Twitter. The guy, I think, I don't know if he was a designer or what it was, and he was totally cool. He's like, look, man, he's like, you know, reviews, they go all over the place. That's fine. Like, people have different opinions. But his point was he felt that part of the reason the reviews were all over the place is because humor is subjective. And I kind of called bullshit on that because I'm like, yes, absolutely. Humor is subjective. You know what's typically not? Like, gameplay. And the reviews that I read when they're talking about, well, it's got bugs and it's got repetitive gameplay and the enemies look the same and it's just one, you know, you go to this warehouse and kill things and then you go to this warehouse. So I appreciate that the guy had a really good, you know, attitude towards everything, and in this day and age, you know, you certainly don't want to feed the haters.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, his reasoning for why scores were all over, which is like, some people can't take a joke. I was like, I'm not sure about that, buddy.
Right.
And I think, you know, the problem is, I think too, I know you're not a fan of the Saints Row games.
No.
But Saints Row 2 and 3 particularly, they were definitely a raunchier kind of bawdy sense of humor.
Yeah.
But they weren't like cracking jokes about it. It was more in the types of activities that you did, in the types of weapons that you had, or like a mission you would do. So like you would be able, so like there was a side activity where one of you would drive or the other person had to like service somebody in the back of a limo and actually like get the thumbsticks like in the right spot. Yeah. You know, that is definitely, you know, just kind of a lower class, for lack of a better word, type of humor. It was fucking hilarious, though, if you're playing co-op and the person in the back. Like, I remember driving with Petey, and he couldn't – I was driving a limo, and he couldn't service the woman. And I was like, do you need me to come back there and help? And he's like, just drive. You know, like, he's getting frustrated because, you know, forgive my language, he can't eat this chick out, right? And I'm, like, dying because I'm driving the limo, and he's getting – you know, knocked back and forth in the back seat, and that's fucking hilarious. Yeah. And then you have Agents of Mayhem, where it's all just like quips and one-liners, and it's like there's a difference. And I don't know if they were like, oh, cool, we're going to take the irreverence of Saints Row and essentially try to write jokes around it. And that doesn't always work.
Yeah.
But you know, mechanically, it seems pretty sound. It's just, you know, they've got 12 different agents, so to manage 12 upgrade paths and all that shit, we'll see how it goes as time goes on.
I didn't know if it was just the three that – because I watched last night. I didn't know if it was just those three or what the deal was.
There's 12, and then I guess if you pre-order, there's like an extra couple that they'll probably sell you at some point.
Gotcha.
It's just that I haven't unlocked them. And then I finished Pyre, which I did not – when I first started that game, I was like, it's fantasy basketball. Not like fantasy basketball, not like fantasy football, basketball, like actual basketball in a fantasy setting. And I was like, you know, okay, whatever. It's Supergiant. I like their stuff.
Yeah.
Music's good. Setting's good. But man, once you hit that first liberation right, and they're like, oh, somebody can go home. And I'm like, wait, what now? And then I was hooked. 100%. 100%. Yeah. Like, it was all in. I'd come upstairs and tell my wife, oh, my God, who do I send home next? And she's looking at me like, I don't give a fuck. What are you talking? And then when it got to the point, and I was spoiler alert, but it gets to a point when your choices as to who goes home becomes even more important. I was up at night. Like, no lie. I would wake up in the middle of the night and go, who do I send home?
Yeah.
Like, that game just got under my skin in a way I did not expect. And mechanically it sound, like when I was fucking hitting shit from the three-point range,
yep. Yep.
Like draining shit from downtown, come on, son. I wish I had spent more time experimenting with the different characters and their abilities to get different strategies, because I got my fucking ass kicked. In the last game.
That game, I don't see myself playing it, but I was obsessed with the streams. Like, I have never in my life, like, jumped up in the air and yelled at a fucking Twitch stream like I did that game that we played, the game you played before Drunk Watch last week.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I rewatched that. That was the same way. I was like, what's going to happen?
Because you were like, I'm not going to win this. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And it was like, when you won, as excited as you got, dude, it was like the end of The Karate Kid and Teen Wolf and Rad.
It's the end of
everything else in my life, right?
Yeah.
And it just all came back at one moment.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I appreciate that. But I felt the same way. I mean, and here's the thing. The thing that I think is so masterful about this game is that they set up an adversary that you have no reason to be angry with. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the time when we play games and we have an enemy, we have a reason to be upset at that enemy, so it kind of drives you to want to, for lack of a better word, destroy them. And this game doesn't do that. They set you up with an adversary that has the same legitimate reason for wanting what you want, and they have no tie to you whatsoever. So you don't have any, you know, you don't have any aggression towards them because it has nothing to do with you. And then and so I thought, oh man, that was amazing because you want what you want for your people, and this guy wants what he wants for himself, but you can't deny what he wants. Like, I just thought it was great. I mean, I haven't played a game that does that, and Jesus, I don't know when. I mean, sometimes they'll give you like an adversary, and they'll paint them in such a way where you can kind of see their side, but at the same time, you're like, yeah, fuck that. I'm still doing mine.
Yeah. I'm whipping that ass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, oh, that's nice, you know. But yeah, so it was really well done. I was very impressed. Very impressed. But yeah, it's going to be a tough year. I mean, shit. And shit ain't even all popped off yet. Like, when you consider what's still coming, holy shit. I mean, we're going to be talking about best of the year without even having played. Like, did you see? I didn't even know that, like, fucking Star Wars Battlefront 2 has, like, multiplayer space battles.
Space battles, man. I can't wait.
I was like, I was like, okay, my boy Mitch, he co-wrote the story. Dude slept on my floor at E3. Of course. Of course I got to get it from Mitch. And then I saw that, and I was like, oh, shit.
That
seriously?
Shit got me more hyped than the single player. Because
Goddamn right.
The aerial combat in the first game, which people bitched about, was my shit.
Yeah.
I'm the level I am in that game because of how much time I spent in whatever that dogfight mode, whatever they called it. Because you put me in fucking A-Wing, and I'm fixing to fucking end the Empire, son. Like, it's over.
Battle Scarif all over again. Mitch is like, I'll get that shield generator. Give
Goddamn
me five
right.
seconds.
Like, hey, guys, Dak says he's got this one.
Yeah.
I fucking got it, though.
You're like, I need a pint of Faderade and an A-Wing.
That's it. We'll put an end to this bullshit.
But yeah, I watched that shit. They're like, oh, it's a 10-minute video. I ain't got time for 10 minutes. I had time for 10 minutes.
I had time for 10 minutes.
I was like, holy shit. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
all in.
Sir.
I'll never fucking touch the ground.
Nope.
Like, no, nope. Like that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, so when you consider what still hasn't dropped yet, holy shit.
Yes.
I mean, and then Nier, like, you got to, like, if they have Nier Automata on sale, you got to pick that shit up. Because
oh, it's on my list, big time.
It's
like, man, I've got Dishonored 2 I just started.
Yeah.
I've got Deus Ex. I've got a couple of things on the Xbox. I still want Nier. Like, I'm stupid behind.
Yeah.
And I'm already, like, I'm still, even having not played these games, I'd be like, yep. This is up there, man, for gaming, years of, like, best of years of gaming. Like, this is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think the Xbox One is a piece of shit. I will say that, though.
Well,
it took, like, 14 hours for me to fucking download a fucking Ghost Recon Wildlands update today, and then I turned on my other Xbox. I know this is first world problems, hashtag diamond shoes are too tight, and it hadn't updated. I was like, what are you waiting for? Fucking written invitation? I got this shit set. You're sucking power down every second of every goddamn day. That's the whole goddamn point is when this shit hits. Like, you don't need my permission.
Damn. Are you in the preview? The preview program, too?
Oh, fuck that. Why? So I can find out how
my
they fucked
God.
Up the interface even worse?
Not just that, but Jesus Christ, if you're in the preview program, that motherfucker has to update like every other day.
Why? Like, I mean, I can't – every time they update, they make it harder and harder.
I know.
Like, I expect the next update to be like, oh, do you want to see your games? You need to sacrifice a goat. Oh, do you need to get in a party? Here's this.
Yeah.
Here's this
you
pig. Get to fucking.
You got to use your feet.
You're right. Exactly. Like, put your dick on the controller. Oh, do you not have a dick? Sorry. Girls don't play games. You know, like
– we have a peripheral for that.
Grab the speculum. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like, and I mean, remember the day back when it was like the Sony, like the PS3 fucking dashboard was like a wasteland of productivity.
Yeah.
I mean, and now, like, things have totally changed. It's like Microsoft is like, we have no idea what we're doing, and it shows. And then Sony's like, how about you just hit a button and it brings up everything?
Yeah. It, the 180 from last gen to this gen is incredible to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've spent a lot of time. We still need to get into our stories. So real quick, you only watched one episode of The Defenders. My wife and I, we watched all eight. So I've seen
– oh, it's only eight. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen every Marvel show more than once. Like, I rewatched Daredevil Episode 2. I rewatched Jessica Jones. I rewatched Luke Cage. I didn't rewatch Iron Fist.
I was going to say, you rewatched Iron Fist.
I did not watch Iron Fist. My wife has only seen – she's seen both seasons of Daredevil, and she watched Jessica Jones, although she wasn't a big fan of it. I will say, unfortunately for you, Defenders doesn't get good until the third episode.
You say third. I've heard six. And that makes it funny to me. If there's only eight, it doesn't get good till six. I was like, shit.
I disagree with that only because the first two episodes, it isn't until episode three and really like 40 minutes or 30 minutes into episode three where they all get together.
Okay.
So episode one and two are definitely like place setting episodes, and you've got Matt and Jessica together, and you've got Danny and Luke together, and it wasn't until three where they all come together and realize, oh shit, we're on the same side. Four is pretty but here's the thing. You're going to ask people to wait for 25% of the time to get to where everybody's together. Now, that being said, like, I have a different take on this than my wife does because she, you know, I think she's more like most people who watch these shows. she and I were both – we felt the same way in that we kind of felt like it should be better.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad by any stretch. I certainly watch a hell of a lot of TV that's worse than it. I just expected it to be better. There were points that were good. Like, Danny Rand is a fucking idiot, and he gets called out for being an idiot on a number of occasions to where I'm beginning to think that's just their idea of who he is, that he's just this guy that is seriously out of touch with how the world works due to the fact that, one, he's rich, and two, he was in, you know, Kunlun for as long as he was.
Right.
But I wanted it to be better. And aside from some small changes, like, you know how Misty Knight has, like, in the comics, she's got a bionic arm?
Yeah.
Well, she can get that now.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So that was, like, in the, like, the last, like, 20 minutes of the last episode, Nobu. I don't know if you remember him from Iron Fist. He was Colleen's sensei. He cut her arm off.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, well, that's cool. Okay. But for the most part, it's pretty much entirely inconsequential. Like, the spoiler alert, Foggy and what's her nuts, the secretary, I forget her name.
Oh,
they think Matt's dead. Everybody thinks Matt's dead, but he's not. He's alive.
I call her True Blood. That's how involved I am with this.
Karen Page. They think he's dead. Everybody thinks he's dead. But other than that, and I mean the hand, it's like, well, you kind of think they got destroyed, but probably not because they're the hand.
Right.
Other than that, everything kind of goes back to kind of being how it was. And so I was really surprised because, you know, even in comics, usually when you have these huge crossover events, there's some sort of lasting impact that carries through the individual titles, and that really didn't seem like it was the case here.
That's sort of was my problem with the whole premise, the based on how they presented each. And I didn't watch everything. I still have the finale from Daredevil season 2 to go. So I've seen however much Luke Cage I watched before our Luke Cage episode, which I think was like maybe 5 episodes.
Right.
Did not care for Jessica Jones, so I saw 2 episodes of that. And I fucking hated Iron Fist, so it's a miracle that I watched as much of that bullshit as I did. So, like, for me, it's like, okay, I know these characters, and I've seen somewhat of the show, but who, like, what villain are you going to do? Like, who do you use for this show?
Well, they used the hand, and they had Elektra coming back. So that was at the very end of Daredevil season 2. It seems like Elektra died, but she actually got taken by the hand. And so, you know, the hand shows up in Iron Fist, obviously.
Right.
Not so much in Luke Cage and definitely not in Jessica Jones. But they did a pretty good job of establishing why those two characters would be involved. That being said, it felt more like a third season of Daredevil simply because Elektra being the villain, you know, Matt's got more of an emotional tie to her than anybody else. And a lot of the you know, Nobu and Colleen and but Madame Gao, she was in Daredevil season 2. She's also in Iron Fist. So the emotional stakes felt highest for Matt. So it felt more like a third season of Daredevil that just happened to have these other people than it did its own thing.
Gotcha.
Now, there were some really good – and fucking God love Mike Colton because –
yeah.
He, like, if you can't act across that guy, and, like, he is amazing. Like, I mean, Finn Jones, I don't know if it's his acting. I don't know if it's the material he's given. I don't know if he was given a particular direction to take Danny Rand. But he is not the most charismatic character. And when placed across Mike Colton, there were some scenes between him and Danny that were great, like great. And most of the heavy lifting was done by Mike Colton, and he did a fantastic job.
And that's interesting. 'Cause like out of all of this shit, the thing that I would most like to see would probably be a Heroes for Hire show.
And I think they kind of set it up that they could. Like, at one point, Danny was like, you and I, we should be together. Like, the Power Man, the Iron Fist. And
yes.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, okay, that would work. And I mean, the reality is, like, the connection in terms of characters, like, those were the two I felt that had the biggest connection. Because Jessica was just, you know, she's a bit of an outsider.
Yeah.
And I mean, she didn't really kind of understand why Matt was doing what he was doing, but like I felt like Mike, or sorry, Luke felt a responsibility to tell Danny, like, look, you've had power since the day you were born, like, you just don't understand it, and where the type of responsibility you have right now, the type of resources that you have, like, you could be doing so much more. And I felt like, you know, Danny, to a certain degree, kind of took that to heart. I don't know if they spent more time on those two being together in the hopes that they could set something up like that in the future.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was good. But if they hadn't made it, I don't know how much of an impact it would have had on future seasons of these shows.
Right. Well, that's the other thing, right? Like, what are we? Is this what we're doing now? We're going away from everything else? Like, that's the other thing I was wondering. Like,
no,
all right,
they definitely left it to where they could all do their own thing.
I hope so, because I love Daredevil, but I don't give a shit about the rest of it, to be honest.
Like I mean, and it really was because, like, Jessica got involved because of a case, and then when she was in it, she felt like she was in it. You know, Luke got involved because there were some kids from Harlem that were getting, you know, kind of
up in it. I saw that. Yeah.
So they were, you know, they all had their reasons for doing it, but not reasons to stay as a group. And I think that was by design. I don't really feel like they meant this to be like the Avengers, where it's like, okay, well, now we all do this together.
Sure. That was my hope.
I mean, I wanted it to be better. I wanted it to be better, but at the same time, and I'm not really a good judge of character for this, I felt it was perfectly watchable. I was entertained while it was on. I'd watch it again, you know?
Sure.
But you know, don't judge me. I have terrible taste in television. So,
well, apparently I do too, because I hate everything everybody else loves. So I, you know.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though. I don't think your criticisms of the shows that you said you didn't like are that far off. The reality is, like, I rewatched Jessica Jones and I love that show, but it is easily three episodes too long.
Yeah.
They could have tightened that up entirely. And Luke Cage is my absolute favorite. I feel like that show, I mean, I love Daredevil, the only reason that Daredevil season 2 didn't feel longer is because of Jon Bernthal as Punisher.
Yeah. Yeah.
You take
fucking wait for the Punisher show.
The reality is that season of that show owes him a huge debt of gratitude, because his portrayal of Frank Castle fucking carried that show.
Yep.
Because the reality is, the stuff with Electro was not interesting enough.
The episodes that he wasn't in were the ones that I have the most trouble getting through.
Like, and even Karen being like, oh, now I'm a reporter, whatever. Fuck, who cares?
I don't care.
You know, Foggy and Matt fighting. Can't be friends. But, I mean, the only reason that show didn't feel longer than its length not the right way to say it. The only reason you didn't feel the length of that season is because he was so goddamn good.
He sure was.
I felt the length of Jessica Jones. Like I said, three episodes, get rid of it. And I even rewatching Luke Cage, I was like, yeah, you could trim a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, I never finished it. Like, I knew when Defenders comes in, I was like, oh, he's in jail. I had no idea why.
I mean, I just remember, like, the last episode of Luke Cage, it's 45 minutes long, and the fight between him and Diamondback is done in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
First 25 minutes. And you spend the rest of the time wrapping shit up.
Yeah,
why?
The fallout. Yep.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? So. And then, you know, Iron Fist took way too long to get to where you were like, okay. Oof. And by then, honestly, by the time you get to the point where you're like, well, that episode's not bad, are you judging it as not bad because of what's come before it?
Yeah.
Or are you judging it as not bad because it genuinely is a good episode itself?
Exactly. Exactly.
Who knows? Stockholm Syndrome is real.
It sure is.
So, you know, we'll see where they go from here. I honestly don't know what the plan is for subsequent seasons. I have no idea. But, you know, and then with Disney saying they're pulling out of Netflix, I don't know what that means for...
Oh, I missed that. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, they're going to throw in streaming service.
Oh, okay.
I guess right now, you know, Netflix can show their stuff through 2018, and they're in talks to see if they can keep, like, Star Wars and Marvel.
But yeah, please.
I don't know what that means for, like, the MCU shows.
I was going to say, like... And again, I don't love the MCU on it, but you know, take Star Wars, that's fine. I'll buy that anyway. But fucking, I want to watch Daredevil and Punisher.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'll buy like all the Marvel movies. I don't give a fuck. I'll buy that shit. No question. All the Star Wars movies, same thing. But yeah, those shows, like, I'm not. But here's the thing: I ain't paying for it, and I think we all know if you don't want to pay for it, you don't have to.
Right. So yeah,
good, bad, or indifferent.
Sure.
All right, real quick, because we're about done. Yeah. But and this is why I felt like I should have a Patreon. So Mitch and I were talking about, because I need to get paid for this shit. We were like talking about like, well, what can we watch? And he, you know, Mitch had seen some stuff, and I hadn't seen some stuff, and just, you know, time and circumstances brought us to the point where I could not get to the movies that Mitch had seen. So I had. Seen that all of the Saw movies were on Amazon Prime, and I was like, oh shit, I should do a Saw-a-thon, because I've only seen like one or two of them. But I didn't have enough time for that. And then I remembered, because I was reading this list of like the 20 best modern horror movies, and on that list was The Human Centipede. And I remember seeing it on Netflix, and I've never actually seen The Human Centipede. And I knew what it was about, but I was like, oh, I should watch that. So I watched it today. So are you a fan? I'm just – because you said to me, your text to me, because I have it. Right here. I texted Mitch this morning, and I said, hold on. Where is it? God damn it. God damn it, that's not the right thing. This is if we had a producer.
I got it.
Better.
You want me to read it?
It'd be better. I said I can't get the other movies, so instead I'm watching The Human Centipede. Our audience better appreciate this. And you said, first time watch? And I said, yes, I had thought about doing a Saw-a-thon, but there isn't enough time. And you wrote, I'm excited to hear what you think. Which is the most neutral, not, oh, you're going to love it, or, dude, that movie sucked. I am excited to hear what you think.
And so here's why. Because if you run, again, I'm going to bring up the circles I run in on the internet.
No, I know.
If you run in the circles that I run in, when that movie was doing the festival circuit and this and that, it was like the hype was up there for like the fucking Cannibal Holocaust. Like, it was like, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. This thing is so disturbing. You're never like, you'll never see anything like this again. And it was just like, oh, and every time I hear that, I'm just like, oh God, I got to see it. Like, I can't wait. Like, I'm rubbing my hands together. Like, oh fuck, this thing's going to make me like rue the day I was born. I can't wait. Right? And then I watched it.
Okay, good. I thought the same thing, too. I was like, first of all, I'm like, what the like, why is he obsessed with this?
Yeah.
So, I mean, now, I don't know if this is, you came from a different perspective than I did, because probably at the time you watched it, you may have known kind of vaguely what the deal was. Like, yeah. I've already known, like, okay, they've had I don't know how many Human Centipede movies. So I already knew what the concept was.
Yeah.
And so people who are unfamiliar with the Human Centipede, there's this German doctor. He kidnaps two women and a Japanese guy. He cuts the tendons behind their knees so that they can't stand up, and then he sews
the one woman's mouth to the butt of the Japanese guy, and the second woman's mouth to the butt of the third woman's mouth to the butt of the second woman. So they have a long, continuous digestive tract, and they make what he calls a human centipede. But I'm like, first of all, I was like, why is he wanting to do this? I didn't get it. I was just like, and then it was surprisingly tame when you consider what was done to these people. Like, I just was like, okay, that seems uncomfortable. You know, if you were to ask me, I would not want that for myself or anybody. Really, but at the same time, I was like, I just didn't get it.
It's such an interesting thing, too, and I say that not because the movie itself is particularly interesting, but it's the almost this the entity. This movie became a thing outside of itself. For me, especially, right? So not only do I have all my horror nerds online who are like, human centipede, this. I worked in surgery when this movie came out, so I had doctors asking me if I'd seen it yet.
Really?
Yes. Because it was like, because the tagline for the human centipede was 100% medically accurate. And I'm like, so I had surgeons, have you seen it? And I was like, yes. Is it 100%? No. What the fuck is wrong with you?
The guy has like an overhead projector and he's got like these cartoon drawings where he's like, I'm going to sew your face to the butt cheek.
It's literally sewing mouths to asses. No, it's not 100% accurate. Are you fucking serious? Of course it's not. They're like, oh, I wanted to see it because it says that. And I'm like, no. It's not.
I guess what I didn't understand, and I don't know, like, I'm not saying that every movie has to have a purpose, because sometimes, like, I watch a perfect example. So Tom Chick on Quarter 3, he'll do these columns that it's like best thing you'll see all week, worst thing you'll see all week. And a lot of times he'll highlight something that's on like Amazon Prime or Netflix. And sometimes the worst thing you'll see all week is actually a terrible movie. And sometimes the best thing you'll see all week is a good movie. And sometimes he'll do best worst thing you'll see all week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did this movie called Lady Bloodfight, which is essentially Bloodsport with female fighters. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'd watch that.
It's great.
Yeah.
Does it have a point? Not really.
No. I'd watch it though.
The fight scenes are great. You know, when you understand why the woman went and did it, you understand why the other woman is fighting. You have somebody to root for. Like I said, there's different fighting styles. There's one woman who does Krav Maga. There's one who's Muay Thai. There's kickboxing. Yep. There's whatever. There's grappling, and it's a great movie. Is it something that you're going to, like, put up on the shelf and be like, people come to your house and you're like, oh, sit down, we got to watch Lady Blood fight?
No. Right.
Does it have a point? Probably not, other than just being entertaining.
Right.
But at least you could kind of tell that it was like, hey, what if we did Bloodsport with female fighters? And you're like, okay, great. This movie, I didn't understand it. It was just like, okay, there's a guy, and he wants to sew some people's butts to people's mouths.
Yeah,
and then you're like, well, why does he want to do that? And they're like, I don't know, he did it with his dogs.
His dogs died or something.
He did it with his dogs, and he really loved them, and they died. And so he thought, well, I guess I'll do it with people.
Maybe it wouldn't kill the people. I don't know. Here's the thing, and I don't, you know. This movie is such like almost an urban legend status for me at this point. So because people would like people that don't love horror would ask me about it again. Like,
really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even I had video game friends. Like this movie when the first one came out, it again was a thing. The hype, it went. It spread further than like almost anything else at that time, and I couldn't believe it because I was like, it sounds fucking dumb to me. And I watched it and I was like, yep, that was fucking dumb. And so many people though heard of this concept and were so enthralled with it. And I was just like, really? Like there are so many movies I could tell you to watch that are so good.
Yeah.
And this is what you're interested in? Asses sewn to, like, mouths? Yes. Like, this is it for you?
And what and what's funny is when you – it's the whole – the human centipede is created so early into the film.
Yeah.
That you get used to it being there.
Yeah, it's
when he's, you know, like, yep. You know, at one point the Japanese guy who's the head of the centipede, he likes bites the guy's foot, and so he gets like leather boots.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, that's too bad, he can't bite him. You know, I mean, it's like you and I don't
and
know.
It's so dumb. You know it's coming because, you know, they have to eat, obviously, and so you know it's coming. You know what's coming, and it's so. Right. Stupid and juvenile, but you know what's going to happen, and then it does. And you're like, yep, that was going to happen. There it is.
Right. Like I was telling my wife about it, and she was just like, I don't understand. I was like, yeah, me neither. And I mean, and I told her, I was like, you know, like a lot of times with like, you know, torture porn, particularly like Hostel. Like when I think torture porn, that's like kind of the movie that in my mind started it. Now I am not well versed, so there's probably ones that came before, but I was like, well, you know, the Americans are kind of assholes, and not to say that you're like, whoa, they're jerks, this should totally happen to them, but you kind of are like, all right, well, not to say that I wanted it to happen, but you're like, well, they were kind of jerks. Whereas in this movie, you're like, yeah, these people were fine. They were just young women that unfortunately, I don't know where they got the Japanese
guy
from.
Yeah.
Yeah, their car broke down and they had a gross German guy like with them or making faces at them. And then next thing you know, they got picked up. So it wasn't even like a almost like a revenge against the ugly American.
No.
Or, oh, these stupid kids, they go to Camp Crystal Lake when they know there's been murders. You know, like, they always, like, horror movies typically will set up that type of thing. Not sure. A little tinge of, well, they deserve it. They shouldn't have gone there. They shouldn't have taken advantage of this.
Right.
You know, even Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right?
Yeah.
Like, those kids, they're just like, they kind of feel like they're better than everybody. And, you know, they don't eat people for a meal, so you could argue maybe they weren't.
So here's but, my feelings
was just
toward,
like,
I think that had, you know, it had been written better or portrayed better, I think the whole idea was that for us to look at Tom Six wanted us to believe this guy was like a mad scientist, and that's fine, like Frankenstein, right? Like that's fine if you do it well, but if you present him as a German guy who's fucking weird, who likes to sew faces to asses, that's not the same thing as a mad scientist. It doesn't cross. Right.
Like, even like you think of the mad scientist movies, like you think of Frankenstein, like he had a purpose. Like, even Reanimator, like he felt like there was a purpose there.
Exactly.
But this guy is just like, you know what I really like? Asses. You know what I also really like? Mouths. So this is like my Twix bar.
Yeah.
I like cookie. I like caramel. I like chocolate. This is what I made.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, there it is.
And then the fact that he treated them like a dog.
Yeah.
I was like, well, wait, do you like dogs?
Yeah.
Like, what is it that you actually like? Because you had dogs.
Right.
And then you sewed their mouths to their butts, and then they died. If you, like, I don't. What do you want out of this?
Right.
That's what I thought was weird. Because if you were just like a mad scientist, where he's like, "Hey, crazy idea. What? Hear me out. What would happen?" You know. As opposed to being like, "Well, I want to make a pet."
Yeah.
Like it was all over.
Yeah.
It
is pointlessly stupid.
And that's what it was. At the end of it, I was like, I do not understand what the purpose of that was.
What I will tell you after watching number one is that you should absolutely watch part two, because it is 100% a superior film, because Tom Six read every opinion, every negative thing about his movie. And what he did was he casted the weirdest looking motherfucker on the planet, Lawrence R. Harvey. And he made this a black and white film. Lawrence Harvey's character is this guy who is completely fucked up. He's very fucking weird. And he's obsessed with the first movie. he is absolutely obsessed with the human centipede. So much okay. so, his home life is fuck. His mother is horrible to him. He is abused. He's I'm probably not mentally all there, and his mother calls him names, and he's just awful to him. This guy is a guy who watches. He does surveillance in a parking deck or something like that. He watches like the what he does is basically he starts kidnapping people to create his own human centipede. And
so this movie is so it treats Human Centipede as a movie, not yes. as like actual events. Oh,
this is
okay.
A, this
so
is a like a movie.
Like
I'll
a
tell
Wes
you,
Craven's New Nightmare type of thing.
Yeah, he is obsessed with the Human Centipede 1 to the extent that he masturbates with sandpaper while watching
oh.
it.
Ah, this, why this, the sandpaper?
Just letting I don't know. I'm just letting you know where this guy is mentally. And his home life is bad, and that's what he does while he's at work, is he watches security footage of a garage deck or parking deck while watching the Human Centipede and masturbating with sandpaper. And this is not a doctor by any stretch of the imagination. So when he kidnaps these people, he uses like an industrial stapler to staple Ooh. To asses. And his centipede goes way further than just three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But
it is batshit insane. But if you feel the way that I did about the first one, when you watch part two, like it's just like this is you know what this is a natural progression. It's just the wheels have come off. It's fucking it's what it is. What it is. It's whatever. And then if you watch three, I'm not even going to say anything about three. You just have to watch it. Just watch it.
Okay.
It's just watch.
All right.
It's, okay. You know, three is what it is. Just watch it.
Well, you know, you do have to give, if that's true, like if Tom Six, if he read the criticisms, like, okay, well, I'll like that. Good on him.
You know, that gif or gif, whatever the fuck you call it, where the person like flips the bird and then pushes it into the face.
No
person. Well, that's the thing. It's hilarious. Okay. It cracks me up. It's like it's like two cartoon characters, and there's one, and it's like this one says something, and the other one like flips the bird finger, and then it just pushes it into the other person's face so much so that their hand almost disappears.
Yeah,
like that. That's what this series of movies is. That is the perfect gif for the Human Centipede trilogy. Tom Six is like, you know what? You didn't like one. Let me see how far I can put this fucking finger into your face.
And to a certain degree, I guess I would respect that more. Like if you're just like, okay, well, I did a thing. You didn't like it. I'm going to double down on that thing.
Exactly.
And we'll see where it goes.
Yep.
But
exactly.
I guess just, you know, taking one by itself, I didn't get it.
I hate the first one. I love the other two.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to take a look then.
So, I say I love them. I'm just based on the first one and his reactions is why they're not any better. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
They're completely depraved and fucked up and they make no sense, but just know like it being him. And to this day, he still does it. Like people will tweet, I watch Human Centipede. Who the fuck comes up with this? And he'll be like, hey, Tom Six, nice to meet you. Like he comes back on all of them because I follow him on Twitter and I fucking love it.
Well, that's good. That helps. That definitely helps.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if somebody is just kind of like this, like kind of standoffish, you know, in that type of attitude, you almost get the feeling that he's like, yeah, no, you're right. But fuck it. Look what I did.
What can I do next? Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You didn't do that. I did that.
Yeah.
I sewed mouth to asses and people talked about it for years.
Yeah. We're still talking about it. So there's that.
Right. Fucking there you go, Tom Six. Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations. 10 years later, whatever.
Sure, right?
Yeah. All right. So I think that's about it for us. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out. I'm not sure what'll be next, but probably it.
Oh, yes.
Destiny 2.
Destiny 2, but also, bonus, if you read Tales from the Batcave today, you read the chronicles of me trying to acquire Nightshot from Limited Run Games.
Oh, yeah.
It arrived.
It's finally on its way.
It arrived yesterday.
Nice.
So I will be streaming Nightshot.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
For the YouTube channel, starting most likely tomorrow, if not definitely by next week. Because I've never played it. I you just have to read the post. I've sort of played it, but not really. So I'm like, I have no idea how to play this game. So I'm excited to get into it. I hope Dana Plato gets murdered. I don't know what happens, but we'll see. It's going to be a good time, though.
Very good. All right, so look for that. For Mitch Streaming is for me. We're going to keep up Agents of Mayhem, and if I'm supposed to get the Uncharted standalone DLC soon.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I'll touch it, honestly, because unless Agents of Mayhem just completely turns me off. So we'll probably stick with that. One of the two until Destiny 2 comes out. But whatever it is we do, hopefully you'll be here with us either through the YouTube channel or streaming or on the next episode of the podcast. So I appreciate everybody who hangs out, and we hope that you have a good couple weeks, and we will do this again soon. So for Mitch and myself, thank you again. This has been episode 29. Good night and have a good evening.